Hi, I have a darkness inside of me, and I'm Allison.
And I'm forcing my daughter's boyfriend to wrestle with me. I'm Evan.
And we are Cheryl's Bitches. This episode
was like, it tried, like, tonally, it leaned really hard into the, like, we're a teen drama. Because, like, it was, like, supposed to be, I think the tone of it was, like, no longer, like, Black Hood crazy shit. It was, like, they're dealing with their teen problems. But then their problems were just insane.
The lodges are officially, like, out of pocket starting this episode. Like,
yeah.
I was, like, a little uncomfy at some moments. I'm like, okay. This is chapter 24, The Wrestler. Aptly named.
Yeah, it is.
We start with a Jughead voiceover, and it's about, like, here's all the things that are going on right now. Archie's trying out for basketball, and the whole town is going to celebrate the day of its founder, General Pickens, like when he founded Riverdale. So that's the holiday coming up.
Yeah. Jughead is then yelled at by his teacher because he's not paying attention to Cheryl's presentation. And Cheryl's giving a presentation on how it was actually her great-great-great-grandpappy, Barnabas Blossom or something, who funded Pickens's campaign to found the town. So really they should all be thanking the Blossoms because they gave the money necessary for Pickens to found the town.
Nobody's like on Columbus Day, like, thank you, Spanish crown. Like, no one's like, Lewis and Clark, no, who bankrolled them? Like, that's not how that works. Not that we should celebrate those days, but, you know, either way, you wouldn't celebrate, like, the people bankrolling them.
Yeah. On Independence Day, we're not like, go French.
Thank you.
Thank you, the King of France.
The teacher says that Jughead is the next oral history report that is due next week. So.
Yep. Then Hiram and Hermione and Fred, Sheriff Keller and Mayor McCoy are meeting. And Mayor McCoy says the high school integration is going well, but she's still getting lots of angry calls from parents. So, like, the actual student transition going fine, the parents pissed, and so the lodges suggest making Pickens Day even bigger this year, to which Mayor McCoy is a bit skeptical, but then reveal Veronica is also at this table.
She's at the table.
I like how they, like, edited it specifically so it looked like she wasn't there, and then they were like, and then Veronica chimes in, and she's like, no, actually, this is a great idea, and I support my parents. So eventually, Mayor McCoy's like, fine, do whatever you want.
Yeah, and they're worried about the serpents potentially causing a ruckus at this event, but Fred says that they could hire the serpents as security.
Yeah, which I meant to Google, and I forgot to Google. This reminds me of that one, music festival that in history class, they're always like, this was the end of the 60s, out in California, where they, like, tried to recreate Woodstock, but they got the Hell's Angels to be security members, and so it just devolved into a riot after, like, 2 days, and someone died.
Yeah, I don't know about this plan of the serpents. And then Fred's logic is like, well, they're looking for work. I'm like, okay. Then clearly it's a perfect plan.
Then Archie gets home because apparently this was also at Fred's house, which I did not notice at first. And he's like, what's going on? And everyone's like, nothing. And Veronica, they all get up to leave, and he goes to kiss Veronica, and I thought this was very funny. Veronica says, I'd kiss you, but you're sweaty, and walks away.
Rejected. Rejected. Then at the Coopers, Hal wants to know how long Chick is going to stay because he is not so much loving his company. Then he's kind of asking, like, you came here all bloody, like, what's up with that? Trying to get at kind of his character, and that he's not safe to, like, stay in their house. So Chick tells the story of how Marcel, who was, like, the guy we saw that stabbed him last episode, attacked him because he books clients for them. And that day he did not want to visit that particular client, so Marcel stabs him, I guess. And they're like, what type of client? Like, what do you think? Like, I'm sorry, respectfully. I'm like, but he says all types of clients.
Yeah.
So he doesn't say really anything.
No, he keeps it very vague. He also says that he has plenty of scars to show, and Betty says, you do. She's like, I have scars too, and she says she has crescent moons on her palms, and Chick says, from digging your fingernails in. I hated this scene. You can't tell.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry, the crescent moons on my palms is the most, like, Tumblr glorifying self-harm type shit. Like, I'm like, Riverdale, why would you say this?
It yeah. literally sounds like a Tumblr girl trying to write Lana Del Rey lyrics, but, like, yeah.
Yeah, so Betty has scars too. Chick understands, because Chick apparently also does that. And I said, yeah. Betty, you're insane.
She is. Then Archie talks to Agent Adams, who is giving him the agreement that's, like, promising Fred is immune, which made me question, what about Veronica? She was supposed to be included in this too, and her name has been dropped. Anyways, then Archie mentions the, like, dinner party he walked in on, and he's like, I want to speed things up. This is going too slow. So then Agent Adams says he needs to get closer to Hiram if he wants to do that.
One thing I noticed about the scene is that Archie's, like, giving the recap of who was there, and he's like, Sheriff Mayor, Lodges, my dad, does not mention Veronica. Ooh. So he is trying to, like,
good protect catch. Her. Good
catch. Then we see in the student lounge, which we still don't have a sound effect for. Betty ding, is ding,
ding. That was a jingle for something, I think.
That's the sound for a fake Riverdale brand. So
yeah, I know. It was the NBC jingle.
Oh, that screams student lounge. Student lounge. Look at the. Can you hear if I snap?
No.
Oh dang! Can you hear that?
I heard a. That was it. what about me? I can click a pen.
No, we just have too good of mics. We can't hear anything. Okay, we'll workshop it.
Oh, I have a flapper.
Oh no!
Damn it!
I can hear that. What does that make a sound?
No.
Our mics are too good, people. This is a high value production. Anyway, if I really cared, I would add a sound, like, in post, but that sounds like a lot of work. We'll see if I do it. You'll know, because there'll be a sound. Anyway, Betty is in the student lounge showing the gang pictures of Chick, and Veronica and Kevin both think that he is hot. Kevin recognizes him, and Jughead says, from your adventures in the woods.
I love that Kevin's response to this isn't no, it's, I don't know, maybe, I don't think so, that could be.
Said, I don't recall.
I love this.
The plan is to bring him to Pickens Day so that everyone can meet him.
Yeah, because they all want to meet the hot guy, which, okay, Here's my thing. Is Chick hot?
I'm not like the appropriate person to judge this, but I did not think so. But
I don't think he is, but that's just me. Whatever. Anyways, then
I think like Timothy Chalamet is hot, you would think Chick is hot.
Yeah, he does have sickly Victorian energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then Jughead like makes a stink because he says that the serpents weren't invited to Pickens Day, which isn't this a town festival? There's not like an invite list.
The exact same things. No, it's like if you were like, oh, I wasn't invited to the farmer's market. Like, what do you mean? Everyone's invited.
It's an open space. You can just show up. Anyways, yeah. Then Veronica's like, no, you were. We asked you to be security.
Sorry. Veronica is back to just being like, well, what is poverty? Like, like, when Fred suggested this, it was kind of like, okay, like, he is friends with FP, sort of. I guess we haven't really seen them since FP's out of prison, but like, I was operating under the assumption that he asked FP if this would be like a good idea at the very least.
So was I, but apparently not. Anyways, then Jughead is like, starts to argue but sees Tony and leaves because he's interviewing Tony's grandpa for his oral history report next week. So he needs to go do that.
He says, oh, who, like Tony's grandpa, and he's like, oldest living serpent. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Preach, Jughead. Archie tells Veronica that he's like, I don't think your dad likes me. And Veronica's like, he does, but then is like, well, maybe not. And her suggestions are he could learn to speak Spanish, and or she's like, I could drop French and take Spanish. Like, okay, because I'm sure you work so hard at French, I'm sure you'd pick up on the Spanish real quick, Archie. But her dad also loves wrestling. In fact, the lodges pretty much bankroll the wrestling team. So, and he's going to watch, and Hiram's going to be watching the tryouts. So, Archie decides to ditch basketball and try out for wrestling instead.
Yup, change in sports. And so, then Jughead interviews Tony's grandpa, who is a founding member of the Serpents. So he's the oldest living serpent, which I would assume then means he's probably one of the only founders left that's still alive. And he says that the Serpents are based on the Uktina. Is that, I think that's how they pronounce it.
I thought it was Uktena.
Uktena, thank you. I wrote it down and I was like, wait, fuck, how do you pronounce this? Uktena traditions. Which are a native tribe that were driven out of Riverdale by force by General Pickens to found Riverdale. And so that's the true history. And Jughead is shook by all of this. And he's like, what? And Grandpa's like, yeah, the Serpents were founded to like maintain our community and our traditions and all of that. And so Jughead in his jugheading ways is like, oh my God, this is awful. I can't believe this is true. And Tony says, it's called the whitewashing of history, Jones. What did you think? Jason Blossom was the first person to be murdered in Riverdale? Which, points. Tony made points.
She did. And it's like, okay, we know for a fact that he wasn't, because we just learned 2 episodes ago that they killed that one dude, false accusation, the Black Hood.
Yeah. And that dude killed an entire family.
Lots of people have died in
Riverdale. Lots of people have been murdered in Riverdale. That's what we're saying here.
I looked up the actor that plays Tony's grandpa, and his name is Graham Greene, and he's actually an Academy Award nominee He was in Dances with the Wolves, like that Kevin Costner movie. And he is actually Indigenous, so we love to see that. I don't think the actress that plays Tony is, so that's not perfect, but he is an Indigenous person of Canada.
Then in a short scene, Veronica talks to Josie and tries to convince her to get the Pussycats back together so that they can play on Pickens Day. Mayor McCoy is not a fan of the idea because she says that Josie is supposed to be focusing on her solo career. But Veronica really wants this to happen.
And then Kevin calls Betty and is like, I know where I know Chick from. Says, and I quote, he's a video gigolo, a webcam boy, a cyber trick. We got it with the first one, Jughead. Why are you like a thesaurus in this moment?
Kevin, I have so many questions. First of all, even if you remembered this, why are you telling people?
What I don't get, that Betty is so shocked. I'm like, you already knew. Like, I just don't, maybe I'm just some genius.
He said his job was a fantasy fulfillment and he has clients.
Right? Like, I'm like, I don't think I'm a genius for figuring this one out. Why are you shocked, Betty?
I'm like, Betty, like, honestly, I would be shocked at this moment just because it wasn't like, oh, he's just like, I've seen his ads on Grindr or whatever to pay, like be a full on escort. Like, that's what I would have expected Kevin to say in this moment. And I would be shocked that he's like, oh, he's just a cam boy.
Yeah.
Anyways, so, that's not why Betty's shook. Betty's shook because she didn't expect this or something. I don't know.
I don't understand, but yeah.
Just anyways, props to Kevin for being bold and admitting that he's seen this man.
King of honesty. Yeah. You know what? He's honest. You know what? Kevin has a lot of haters out there. He is an honest person.
Yeah. Even I, a hater, have to admit.
Oh, we love Kevin.
Love Kevin.
Hermione is having a half of a grapefruit for breakfast. Queen.
She's on the grapefruit diet. Clearly, I'm very focused on the grapefruit diet.
She is wearing a navy blue dress with these lacy sleeves, pearl earrings, and her hair looked very good. And she is pissed off because Veronica is upset because she thinks that Sierra doesn't like her. Josie's mom, Sierra, we never say her name, doesn't like her. And she's like, well, Sierra doesn't think that you should be involved in the business that we do. She doesn't believe that. So she's like, Veronica's like, oh, is she nervous I'm gonna tell Josie? But Hermione's like, that's not exactly it. It's more that we like allow you into this world that she doesn't agree with.
Yeah. I think this might be the first time they call her Sierra. Like, I'm not certain we knew her first name before this.
Maybe, because I always just call her Mayor McCoy.
We do. Anyways, also Hermione says that if Sierra's coldness persists, that she will have a talk with her. So Hermione is ready to back V up, be a good mom. Anyways, then Archie goes to wrestling tryouts and Hiram approaches and like starts a little combo. We find out from this that Archie is in the 175 weight class, but he's trying to get down to 170, which I thought was just like a random comment, but was very funny to me.
We see Chuck in the scene is also trying out, which I'm like, this is literally twice we've been like, this is Chuck's last episode. But he's still here, folks.
He calls Archie. So he says that Archie's lucky that he's not in his weight class, because if so, Chuck would destroy him. And in this comment, he calls Archie gingerbread man.
I love that. Archie is there and Hiram is there, and Archie's like pretending like he doesn't know that Hiram wrestled and this isn't all a ploy. And Hiram sure, or no, he's introduced. He wears an interesting shirt later, but in this scene, he's introduced as Hiram the Ram Lodge. Which I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Hiram, Ram, yeah. I see it. I get it.
Yeah. Kevin is also trying out, and he warns Archie as they're like going to start their little tryout stuff that this isn't like football or basketball. And then Sheriff Keller also just comes to start watching. He just appears and starts watching. But Archie and Kevin pair up, and Kevin just like immediately takes down Archie. Like, just, it's not even fair fight. Like, just so fast.
And Sheriff Keller is so proud. He's like doing these little claps. I'm like, oh, he's Kevin. And Kevin is good at wrestling. So
Kevin is. Anyways, this transitions to the next scene where Kevin and Betty are talking. And Kevin, I read down this entire dialogue exchange because it was so funny to me. Kevin says, "It felt so good, Betty. It's like, yeah, Archie. You have the physique of a 1970s porn star, but that doesn't mean you can wrestle." To which, we'll unpack that in a minute. But Betty responds and says, "Speaking of porn stars," which prompts Kevin to say, "Did you get lost down a webcam rabbit hole last night?" And Betty says she did. It, quote, "It's fascinating."
Okay, so many comments. One, oh, Kevin is hilarious. Kevin is hilarious and right. Two, Betty, if you found out that your brother was doing things online for money, would you watch those videos?
Why?
I would honestly even get if she was trying to figure out his identity and ended up finding them and was traumatized via like having to watch one to see if it was him. Kevin already told you. He told you this is him. You don't need to watch those videos.
There is no need. There's no need for her to watch these videos. She went, "Oh, my brother is doing sex acts online. Let me go look." That's what she does. And it's just like, Kevin's just like, yeah, seems normal.
It's not fazed at all. Betty is also wearing the worst sweater. It is so bad. Like, I can't even, it's hard to describe. So on the front, it has like flowers as a pat, like kind of a pat, but it's not patterned. It's just like there's flowers on the front.
Very like Midsommar-esque in its like pattern, in that it's like that like kind of floral motif. Do you know what I'm talking about, that they use in that film on like the walls and stuff?
Yes.
It looks like that in the flowers that are stitched into this sweater,
which would be fine. That's fine, put some flowers
it's
in the
a little
sweater.
Weird, but it's fine.
It has this like it doesn't have a collar, but like on the collar part of the sweater, it has its blue, like navy blue, and it has these red stripes, and it has these like little buttons, not like buttons, but like the kind of metal.
I think they're supposed to be like fake pearls. That's what I thought they were.
No, because they're like metallic-y. They're not.
Are
white.
They metallic-y?
Yes.
Okay.
And on the side, as if the collar was not more than enough, on the side of the neck, there's like a navy blue little tie on just one of the sides. It's hideous. You have to post a picture of this one because, like, it's bad.
It is amazing. It's amazing how bad it is. I loved it. I was like, oh my god, someone went to a thrift store.
Anyway, Jughead walks in. And he tells Betty that he wants to publish an article about like the story of the Oktana tribe that he heard from Tony's grandpa. And she tells Betty the story of that they killed 400 men, women, and children. And Hiram Lodge is out there glorifying this. And Betty's like, okay, you can publish it.
Yeah. Through this, we also find out that Kevin has a gossip column in the Blue and Gold, apparently, which replaced Jughead's, like, regular writing space. And I wanted to know that because, A, icon. Second, I just know in that column he is trying to somehow be both Carrie Bradshaw and Gossip Girl, and it is obnoxious, but also so fun.
You know, he's like writing things about himself, or like, yeah. He's like, what football player hooked up with a known gay in Fox Forest? Like, he's like, an inside source told me.
Inside source said that Moose might be named Moose, but his appendages remind me of another animal. Of the horse variety. Something stupid.
Cut the cameras.
Deadass.
Archie. Oh.
No, you're good. Veronica is talking to Archie about how the wrestling tryouts did not go well. And Archie's like, yeah, Kevin's gonna help me out. I'm gonna do it. We're gonna figure it out. We're gonna work together. And Veronica's like, it's okay. You can do other things to impress my dad. Like sing with me and Josie at Pickens Day. Hiram's not gonna care.
That'll impress him. With Archie's fantastic musical abilities, who could ever still dislike him?
Because we know, if there's one thing Hiram loves, it's the arts.
You know. So then we see Chick got home mad, and he says that Marcel threw all of his stuff out, and he's like, and Betty's like, you went back there after he tried to stab you? And he's like, yeah, he has all my stuff. Like, he's obviously still has power over Chick, which Betty seemingly just does not understand. And she's like, but you can just stay here. You don't have to worry about making money. Like, you can just stay here with us. And he says that Betty shouldn't believe that him staying could ever be a long-term thing. So Betty's being delusional.
He's in her delulu girl era. Hiram's working in his office, and he gets a call from Jughead, who is like, hi, this is Jughead. I'm writing an article, and like starts to explain what the article's about. And Hiram just hangs up the phone.
Hiram Lodge has done wrong. This was not wrong. This is the correct response to getting a call from Jughead.
He was right for that.
No, didn't he say a word other than hello? Jughead says, oh, it's Jughead. Hang it up.
It was so funny.
Then we see Betty kind of digging through her drawers, and she has an old laptop and like webcam, and she wants to give them to Chick. She knocks on his door. He doesn't open, so she just leaves them by the door, and Chick then opens the door and takes the stuff without a word.
Yeah. I also like to know the laptop she gives him has a Riverdale Register sticker on it, which was really funny to me.
We'll find out why.
Veronica sings with Archie in her room, and Hiram interrupts, and Veronica's like, we're just practicing for Pickens Day. And Hiram says, the thought of you two being here alone used to upset me deeply. But after your performance today, Archie, for some reason I'm less worried. And then he goes on and says, my point is, there's no shame, Archie, in admitting defeat and accepting the fact that you're more suited to singing with the Pussycats.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do I agree with this, like, toxic masculinity? Absolutely not. Hiram killed him. Like, Archie found it.
My note under that is, Hiram kind of ate that bitch up.
Singing with the Pussycats. Oh my gosh. But
so funny. Like, Archie found dead.
Veronica goes in to save Archie, of course. And she's like, well, when he sings, he's so sexy. It pisses him. Her dad is still here. Like, well,
everyone in this scene acts in the most unhinged way because they, like, have a very prolonged kiss, which is very weird, and Hiram just, like, stares at them while this happens.
But Archie decides to bail on Veronica in the performance to focus on wrestling. Like, okay, but that'll show him, Archie.
So Hiram's slay streak ended with the weird, creepy kiss.
It was a lot.
It lasted for a good two scenes. He was slaying. Then the Coopers are having dinner and Hal yells at Chick and he's like, you're just a placeholder because Polly left us and you're not really a member of a family. Like, that's the tone of it all. And Chick is like, no, you don't understand. I understand that I'm not living here for free. Like, I never expected to be able to just live here for free.
Then we see at wrestling tryouts, from he wants to demonstrate some wrestling move, who knows? And he's like
a firefighter or something weird like that.
He's like, can I get a volunteer? And who else but Kevin Keller's hand shoots up at lightning speed. No such luck for our dearest Kevin. Instead, Hiram is like, Archie, who was not raising his hand. Well, can you be my volunteer? And this is where he has a shirt that says Ram Tough on it with a picture of a ram. Badass? Question mark?
Hiram's kind of a badass. Anyway, so Archie goes to wrestle him, and Hiram just, like, immediately takes him out. And then Hiram, while still holding Archie in, like, a chokehold, gives a speech about how you need to not only, like, subdue your opponent, but you need to demoralize your opponent. And then at the end, he whispers to Archie, and it's like, I always win. Did you catch that?
The vibes get sort of off in this dynamic. Like,
it began a vibe that will continue throughout the show of Hiram and Archie that is very funny to me but very uncomfortable.
It's something. It's a compelling dynamic.
It is fascinating to watch. Okay, before we move on though, I just want to make one more comment because I think it's really like, it goes unremarked in the episode, but I think it's really weird or really cool that even in Riverdale, no one is weird about the fact that Kevin's just, like, really good at wrestling. Like, he's just on the team. Everyone accepts it. No one seems to be weird about it, which is nice and unexpected for this show.
Very true, because you would think this episode would be about Kevin getting murdered for, like, daring to try out for wrestling, but yeah, no, he's just good at it.
It's just, like, a thing. They're all like, yeah, Kevin does wrestling.
Yeah. Then we see at school, Tony is mad at Jughead and she's like reading part of the article and she's like, this, you describe us as victims and props in your crazy feud with the North Side. Like, you're using my grandfather's story just because you hate the North Side. And she's like, she chews him out some more and says that it wasn't his story to tell.
Yeah, he, in this article, describes Tony's grandpa as old and beaten down. It's like, fucked up. Tony says that she gets that he hates the North Side and that Pickens Day, quote, triggered his rage.
Triggered.
It's triggered. About being born on the wrong side of the tracks. And then, yeah, like Allison said, it's not his story to tell. And Jughead is kind of shook by this. He's like, but I thought you'd like be happy I told your story. Which
I did it.
Again, brings up like the weird racial coding. This one's like not even coding, it's just explicit. Of the serpents and Jughead's like white savior narrative.
I think what should have happened is they write last episode a little differently to be like Jughead kind of like going towards this like very white savior move, like kind of like a progression of Antoni's like starts, and she does in the episode, like starts to get a little uncomfortable with him, like he's being too much about it and making it about him. Like I could see that going through this episode, and then this is like the like conclusion of that, where Tony does get mad at him and makes it a whole thing. I feel like that would have worked better, especially with what we were talking about last episode of all like the like racial coding of the situation. Yeah. To have like Jughead, his intentions, especially the last episode, like he thinks he's just standing up for himself and the serpents. Now he's like placing that same dynamic on a situation that like he's not at all involved in. And that's when it's like clearly over the line. So I feel like they could have like made this a 2-episode arc and it would have worked better. And last episode would have been less weird.
Yeah. It's just like, it's also weird. Like the, again, this contributes to the weird racial coding of the serpents in general. Cause it's like, oh, they were founded as like a community organization for the members of this like tribal group that got forcibly removed from their land, but now it's just like a biker gang that anyone can join. Like it's weird. Also, it was really funny to me, but they were like, the laws of the serpents are based on the teachings and like of this tribe, and I was like, the laws of the serpents are like when you Google gang laws, what comes up?
No, it was their tribal tradition that if you wanted to join, you had to do a strip show at the White Worm. Like, it's like, which of the laws? I guess, like, in Unity, there's strength, maybe, because that's kind of their thing.
But that's also, like, literally everyone's.
Like, literally all cultures kind of have the same, have similar values, at least.
Yeah. Anyways. So, moving beyond that, back to high school drama. Mayor McCoy is yelling at Josie, and so she can't perform on Pickens Day because there could be a riot after this article that Chug had published. And Josie's like, what? No one's gonna riot. Which, like, fair enough. It was an article published in a high school newspaper. Like, who is reading this shit?
Clearly everyone in this town.
Anyways, I also noted that this is the second scene in a row where someone used the word triggering.
It was 2018.
It's so 2017, 2018
core. Sierra says that Josie can't perform, and she's like, is this... kind of makes it about Veronica, and Sierra does, we kind of get a confirmation of what the lodges suspects, that she does not enjoy how they use Veronica in their business. And Josie, after hearing this, kind of implies, or like the implication that the lodges are like kind of manipulating Mare. She storms in on Veronica practicing at school and says that she's not going to do the performance because she does not want to be manipulated by a lodge.
Carlos, slay. Anyways, then Penelope is laying flowers at the General Pickens like memorial statue thing, and Cheryl shows up and says, "The cameras aren't here, Jackie O." It was so good. It was such a good burn. I'm sorry. It was so funny.
She got her.
She really got her. Anyways, so then they have like a conversation about the article, and Penelope's like, yeah, Junkhead's right. That's what happened. And Cheryl's like clearly upset about the role her family played in like genocide, essentially. And then Penelope's like, well, you know, back then it was different. The Blossoms, they did it so they could control everything, and they controlled everything in this town. They ran the railroads, they ran everything, including a brothel. So she's like, I guess times haven't changed that much.
Why is this her flex? Why was like, now this is her entire personality? She's like, actually so valid, because back in the day, they had a brothel in this town. Like, I don't think your ancestors would want their descendants to be working in that brothel. Like, I'm glad that you're proud, but I don't think like they would be proud of you in the way that you're trying to get at.
You know, she's upholding the family legacy, she thinks.
Yeah, I guess. And Cheryl's like, they killed all these people just from maple trees. And yeah, Penelope's totally chill with it.
Yeah. That's her rant. She's like, it's not just for the maple trees. It was for control of everything. The dirt, the water, the railroads, the brothel.
Like, okay. Then we see Archie and Kevin practicing for wrestling. And Kevin asks why Archie is, like, doing this. He's like, I thought you played basketball. And Archie's like, no matter what I do, like, I can't earn Hiram's respect. And he's like, but I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna prove it. And like, what? And like, Hiram is low-key grooming Archie. Like, this sounds like a victim of grooming, like trying to like prove himself to like be worthy of Hiram's attention. Like, it's just
yeah
not great.
Anyways, then Chick goes and talks to Betty about the laptop and is like, why'd you give this to me? And she's like, I did it to help you and mom, because like mom is going through a lot, and she's sad, and I want to make sure like she's not happy, and you being here is helping her be happy. And then Chick is like, no, there's no way that's true. Everything is a transaction. And she's like, you're right. Actually, I want you here because I want to know why I am the way that I am and why I have a darkness in me. And I think you have that darkness too. It's like, she's so crazy. What?
And the best part of this is Chick is basically like, I'll pass. He's like, no, I'm not gonna talk to you about that.
He's like, I'm good. And she's like, I know about the webcam, hey. That's why I got you the laptop. And she's like, what the fuck? And leaves.
Yeah, Chick is actually extremely valid this episode. Like, he's just trying to deal with stuff. Then we see Archie at the lodges, and he goes right up to Hiram and is just like, why don't you like me? Which I'm like,
He's so baby girl.
Sorry, is that ever the correct move in any situation to walk up to a person and just ask, why don't you like me?
No,
don't do that.
You know what, that was a very baby girl move of Archie. Archie and Kendall Roy have more in common than we thought.
Very Kendall Roy coded. Hiram's response to why he doesn't like Archie is basically like, dude, your dad fucked my wife. I look at Archie, never even thought of this. Never. It wasn't even a thought in his head.
Never occurred to him. And he's like, I'm not my dad, though. And he's like, okay, but you'll still never be able to take care of Veronica. And so Archie says, I did while you were in prison.
Yeah. Hiram does not appreciate that. Veronica walks in and tries to break it up. But I'm like, Archie, do not, like, one second you're trying to get in his good graces, next you're being like, actually, you're a terrible father and husband. And bringing up after Hiram's literally like, I hate you because your dad fucked my wife, bringing up the situation that led that to happen is not the correct move.
It's not. Anyways, as a cover to why they're fighting, Hiram says that he was trying to plan one-on-one training with Archie for wrestling.
I believe that.
If I was Veronica, I'd be sus for multiple reasons at this point.
Veronica's absolutely slaying in this, like, white blouse that has a big tie on the front. And the tie has, like, some black lining. And she's wearing, like, this skirt that's patterned black and red and white. So, she's slaying. She's a little sus, though.
She's sus. Archie is then woken early by a call from Hiram, and he's like, what? And he's like, be down here in 5 minutes. So Archie's like, okay. They go jogging, and it very quickly turns into a race, because of course it does. And Hiram beats him, but then they go to Pops. And Hiram explains that he loves wrestling because it doesn't matter who you are or really how strong you are. It matters how much you know your opponent, and that you know your opponent even better than he knows himself. And he says, this is why Archie will never be good at wrestling.
Because you don't know shit. Hiram's like,
was like, you're stupid.
Hiram, after this, is like, I can tolerate you for Veronica's sake, but boyfriends come and go. Fathers are forever. No.
I was waiting for him. I fully was like sitting there waiting for this quote when he said, but fathers, and then paused for a really long time. I was fully waiting for him to be like, but fathers, daddy is forever.
Okay, at least he didn't say that.
And I was like, they wouldn't do that, but they might.
They might. Fathers are forever. Yeah, more. Why are we doing this?
Anyways, then Veronica and Hermione have breakfast again, and Veronica explains that Josie's dropping out of performing on Pickens Day, and Hermione's like, oh, Serena, or Sierra, that bitch, I'll go talk to her. And Veronica's like, no, don't do it. If the McCoys don't like how we do business, like, that's on them. We can do this without them. And it's like, okay, girl, yes.
Jughead apologizes to Tony and her grandfather, and he says that he was just mad, but he had no right to use their story. And it starts as one of those bad apologies, but Tony course corrects him enough to be like, it to be a decent apology. But her grandfather says either way, he opened an old wound and something must be done to heal from it. We will see.
Okay, then Archie gets ready for day 3 of tryouts, and Veronica shows up, and she's like, Archie's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And she's like, oh, Hiram invited me to watch you do on the last day of tryouts. Good luck, bestie. Anyways, then Hiram is like seen in the background talking to the coach, and then the coach comes out and announces the first round for tryouts is gonna be Archie versus Chuck.
That's fair in different weight classes.
Yeah. Archie is like, he's in a different weight class though. What? But then eventually agrees to do this match.
Hiram is being extremely petty with this. He's like, whatever, he still does the fight, and they're wrestling. It's like, whatever, a whole fucking wrestling scene, who cares? Archie gets him, gets the better of Chuck, and the whole audience claps, to which I say, why is there an audience to these
two? That was my question. Why is there a whole audience? Also, I think it's really important to know that in this scene, as Archie's like pinning down Chuck for the final like winning moment, I don't know how wrestling works, it's like the camera work implies that while he's doing this, he's just staring directly at Hiram.
Yeah. Hiram does stand up with the audience and does a little slow clapping. So
yeah.
Archie has finally earned his respect.
And he got a standing ovation, so good for him.
Again, with the audience at these tryouts, like, I love the implication that they're like, come see, and then we'll cut all these people and we'll see them, and like the whole audience gets to see them be cut from the team. Like,
honestly, it's kind of smart. It's like a reality show, but for the wrestling team. It's a way to drum up interest.
Yeah, except they're high schoolers.
I didn't say it was good. I just said it was smart. Yeah.
So then the next day, it's Pickens Day, and Hal is not coming with the family because he's not part of Chick's family. So just Chick, Betty, and Alice are going to go.
Alice is chill with this, though. She's like, fine, whatever. I don't fucking care. Then it's go to the Pickens Day Festival. Hermione talks to Josie and Mayor McCoy. It's very tense. Mayor McCoy is like, I forbade Josie from performing because of the article, and you can never be too safe when it comes to our children, right? And Hermione just looks at her like, yeah.
Sure. Josie, it's shady. Josie in the scene is wearing the most 2017 skirt I have ever seen. Like, you'll know it. You'll know it when you see it. It's like one of those corduroy skirts that has the little like metal circle buttons down the front. Man, that the cultural impact of that skirt, unmatched.
Yeah. I also noted that in the background of all of these shots, you can see like trees with like red and yellow and orange leaves. So it's like a very clearly fall. And I'm just so confused by the timeline.
It does not make sense because it is, and it's like a seems like a fall themed festival.
Yeah.
Like, they're giving out candy apples and maple snow cones, which I'm like, isn't this I mean, if it's fall or winter, snow cones are not the best option. They're like wearing gloves and eating snow cones.
You know, as you do, I guess. Anyways, then Hiram talks to Archie and is like, congratulations on your win. You should come over to the Pembroke tonight to talk things over. So apparently Archie finally did win his approval, maybe.
And when he's walking away, he literally checks Archie out, like gives him a once over. I'm sorry. I'm just reporting the news.
The sexual tension to be cut with a knife, and it's disturbing to me. It's so funny.
Man. Anyway, Hal is mad because he shows up at the Pickens Day, and he's mad because he broke into Chick's computer and found out that he's a cam boy. And Alice is like, why do you hate him so much? And he says, you know damn well why, dot dot dot, and she's like, well, I'd rather throw you out than throw him out. So I threw you out once before, Hal.
Yeah. Then Hal storms off, and who's there watching this happen? Penelope, who gets like a smirk.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, ooh, I have ideas.
Pickens Day is finally like being kicked off, and Fred speaks and is like, thank you to the lodges, whatever, we're sponsoring this, and welcomes Veronica and the Pussycats to the stage, which is so shady because Josie is so mad.
Yeah. But Archie and Kevin are living for it. And Veronica sings a song. It's originally by Duran Duran. And I need everyone to know that the name of this song is Union of the Snake.
I was so confused.
Just throwing it out there.
I was trying to listen to lyrics to see if it made any sense, like with the plot. And it was just like, yeah, it was about snakes. I'm like, why is this what we're singing on Pickens Day?
Because the serpents are important to this plot. Because they show up right now with signs that saying like honor this land and things, and they begin to protest, which I couldn't quite tell if there's like a quite a few shots of this, and I couldn't tell exactly what was happening, but Cheryl is either A, joining the protests, or B, just like looking on with approval.
She was, I don't think she got on stage because only Tony really got on stage, but she joined the group, so she was approving of the protest. Yes. Slash joining it.
She was very at least approving.
Yes. So they're protesting, like some of the people have tape over their mouths, and Tony goes up to the stage and speaks and talks about how the land was stolen and like how they should be honoring her grandfather instead of Pickens. And look, she's right. Hiram Lodge, though, this is one of the scenes where you're like, oh, this is how Hiram has so much power, because he is very good. He grabs the mic from Tony and speaks to how, like, we should be happy to live in a Riverdale that young people feel free to protest for what they believe in. And, like, he totally saves it. He totally saves it, honestly, because then everyone is kind of like, as if the protesters could kind of just join Pickens Day and it would all be all good because it was acknowledged. And Tony is clearly very mad about this, but doesn't know how to respond to it, which is why Hiram is so good, because like he, by kind of acknowledging it, he put them in a corner where they either have to like do something bigger and to possibly physical, or just kind of say like, okay, well,
yeah, he did the very good like the thing centrists love to do where they're like, isn't it so wonderful that we can have a conversation without like actually having the conversation. They're just, yeah, like, we could if we wanted to, but we don't. But yeah, it was very fun. Also, this is very random, but I was distracted from a moment because my friend texted me because she just ran into Elena Kagan.
Who is that?
Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan.
Oh.
Like, just okay. Out and about, she randomly ran into Elena Kagan and, like, texted me in all caps.
Oh, I recognize her. Wow, I love that I don't even know that. I'm leaving that in. Sorry, I don't know who Supreme Court Justice is.
Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court, Obama.
I believe you.
Very fun.
Okay.
Anyways, then, Jughead, back to the actual important things, Riverdale. Jughead is also very pissed, but Tony, and he like rips the tape off his mouth dramatically because he's gonna go make a scene, but Tony's grandpa holds him back before he can go do anything.
Yeah. So next we see Hal glaring at a maple snow cone, and Penelope propositions him, and they go off together.
The scene is beautiful. Penelope walks up to him and just goes, how about we get you a proper dessert, Hal?
Ew.
It was so disturbing.
No, thank you.
Anyways, then Chick goes and talks to Betty and admits that he snuck into her room the first night while she was sleeping. And he's like, I did it because I couldn't sleep. And I was just trying to figure out why you would go back for me. And I think I figured it out. And it's because you're all fucking alone here. You have no friends and you're alone, Betty.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, like, why are you a cam boy? And he's like, money. And to escape. to pretend to be someone else, escape the darkness inside. And they're like feeding off of each other about like how they have all these fucking issues. And Jughead voiceover says that this is when the dark education of Betty Cooper began.
Because Betty then asks Chick to show her how to escape the darkness.
We know what's coming next, and unfortunately, we cannot stop it.
As much as I want to, I can't prevent this from happening.
You can't change the past. You can only look to the future. And the future?
It's not great. It's not great. I see what's coming and I don't like it. Anyways, she meets with Hiram. And Jughead's narration says that this is the start of his criminal apprenticeship. Hiram asks Archie where he sees himself in 5 years. And I was like, what is this, a fucking job interview?
Of course it is.
And of course it is. Archie says he sees himself in college on like a sports scholarship. And Hiram's like studying music. And he says, no, that's the old me. I want to study business now.
Told you what, yesterday? Like, Archie literally does just believe the last thing he heard. And the last thing he heard is Hiram will like you if you're serious. So he's like, I'm going to study business.
This is why him and Veronica are such a great couple.
Yeah.
They both just believe whatever someone tells them.
That's why they're both very easy to manipulate by Veronica's parents. Hiram says that he's going to demand the best of Archie if he continues to date Veronica. And during this conversation, Archie ignores a call from Agent Adams. He's just all in, baby. And he's like, oh, so this would be like an internship.
Yeah.
And Hiram's like, yeah, like an internship.
Then Hermione, Hiram, Mayor McCoy, and Sheriff Keller are in Pickens Park, and Jughead says there was a horrifying act of desecration. And then Mayor McCoy asks Hiram and Hermione how they want it handled because they're in charge now. And Hiram says he wants it handled swiftly and with extreme prejudice. And they all like agree that whatever the desecration was has at the hands of the serpents. And then it pans and reveals that is that the General Pickens statue has been decapitated and someone put red paint on its shoulders.
Yeah. So they think it's the serpents. Da-da-da-da.
Which reminded me of there was big hubbubaloo on my college campus once because there was a statue of a famous alumni who was also a slave owner. And so they, like, student protesters one night painted that statue's hands red, and the like whole university freaked out.
Oh my gosh, they should have cut his head off.
I know, right? And then they installed, they like after that started having 24-hour security at the statue, like for a short amount of time, and then they installed like a really high-tech expensive security camera outside of the statue.
Your college does not seem real to me. Every story, I'm like, I don't believe you.
It happened.
This is made up.
Everyone was like, this is so stupid. And it happened.
Okay. Well, yeah, any other thoughts on this episode?
It was just, again, it was one of those things, it was like weird going into it because I was like, oh, this is going to be like a very like normal high school drama heavy episode because that's like the tone it approached everything with, but then everything was so out of pocket. And I forgot the intense like sexual tension between Hiram and Archie started here.
I thought
it happened later. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh really?
I thought it started a little bit later.
Okay, no, right off the bat.
Like, I thought there was some, like, normal time. I remembered there being... I think it's just because it gets so extreme later that this feels like nothing in comparison.
This is normal when her dad wrestles you, like... Yeah. Anyway, my outfit of the episode, I gotta go with Hermione's navy blue dress. I like that.
Ooh, okay. So I went with Betty's Crime Against Humanity sweater.
No. Choose a different outfit.
No, I refuse. It's so bad and I'm obsessed with it.
So bad. What was your quote of the episode?
It felt so good, Betty. It's like, yeah, Archie, you have the physique of a 1970s porn star, but that doesn't mean you can wrestle.
That was literally mine.
Speaking of porn stars, it's so fun.
Maybe, you know, I'm gonna be a little out of pocket, if I may.
I'm
gonna go with there's another good one, but I am gonna go with Hiram Thing. I always win. Because it was too much. Shout out to Jackie O, though. That was
Jackie O was a good one. The absolute shade of him being like, I no longer worried about you, Archie. So good. Hiram had good quotes this episode.
Killing it.
But I feel like the I always win has definitely been like a gif used somewhere.
Yeah. I feel like that's like I always win. Like any Hiram Lodge edit, which I'm sure you're all working on. We need to react to Riverdale TikToks is what we should do. I wonder, I'll have to see if there's like, I'm sorry, I don't see any Riverdale content on TikTok.
So
my For You page is not curated for that. But that would be a good thing. I feel like that would be his quote. Of course, I picture a series of like 8 GIFs on Tumblr.com, and then they have like the caption is always like a little line, and then the quote, I always win. Speaking of, I feel like it's time to do a Hiram Lodge for Kinsey Scale. I think we have enough context.
It just gets so much worse later, but yeah, I'm here for it.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Do you have yours? Oh, we're doing Kinsey Scale, which is the heterosexuality to homosexuality scale from 0 to 6 character Hiram Lodge. Are you ready?
Yes.
1, 2, 3.
Oh my god! We said the same thing for the first time, I think, like, ever.
Wait, let me see. Let me see if we got... I have the collection of data here.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, it's actually the second time ever. Oh. But the first time was for Miss Grundy, where we both said 0.
Well, that's just because Grundy's so obvious. I'm sorry. Yeah. This is a fun one. Not Grundy. Grundy's not fun.
Oh, so anyway, Hiram is a 2, and here's why.
I think we all know why. We've seen this episode. We understand why he's a 2.
All 2s. Sorry, can I just really pause this?
Yes.
So, talk about a tweet where there was this tweet going around a couple months ago that was like, was something about like boy genius is like whatever, like, okay, you have a boyfriend, whatever, something Kinsey too, like it was a whole whatever diss of boy genius that called them Kinsey twos. And then someone responded with like a picture of Lucy Dacus and Julian Baker, and it was like, imagine looking like this and getting Kinsey two allegations just because you're in a band with Phoebe Bridgers. And then people just start, I was like, I'm gonna use Kinsey 2 allegations as part of my vernacular. And I feel like Hiram Lodge has suffered some Kinsey 2 allegations in the mob scene.
He definitely has suffered some Kinsey 2 allegations in the mob scene. Like, that's so funny. It's, Boy Genius as a concept is so funny to me because it's like a combination of like just very depressed gay people and the worst straight women you've ever met are all of their fans.
So bad. It's so bad. Dude, I was trying to listen to oh my gosh, because I kind of like this girl who's into Phoebe Bridgers, so like I was trying to give it an honest listen.
I like Phoebe Bridgers.
That makes one of us.
But
I tried, guys. I was at the gym. Of course, I'm at the gym lifting. So, like,
you cannot listen to Phoebe Bridgers while lifting. That is not how that works.
Whatever. But I'm clearly, if I'm at the gym lifting, clearly I'm not Phoebe Bridgers' intended audience. Like,
no.
It's not for me. And I was like, oh, there was one song where I'm like, okay, I'm turning this off. I do like the one that's like, empty lot, the tractor field, you're always home. It's like one of the most famous ones. You know what I'm talking about. A slaughterhouse,
yeah. Okay.
That yes. One was good. The rest, and Nothing New, featuring Phoebe Bridgers by Taylor Swift, was on that playlist. So that was good.
Motion Sickness. I liked Motion Sickness and literally none of her other songs for an entire year.
Before yeah. I got so into anyway, it. What the fuck are we talking about?
How Hiram is a 2.
Hiram Lodge. Duh, obviously I'm talking about Hiram Lodge. He is such a 2. And I will say 2, because like he like obviously he's married to Hermione. They seem to have a very real relationship, even if not the best. And I think he pursues other women later. Sorry, they're not gonna be faithful to each other for the rest of the series. Hopefully that's not a shock to you.
It's like, I hope that's not shocking news.
But he's clearly into some other stuff, so too.
My thing is that if they would just accept that an open marriage is best for them, I think their relationship would actually work pretty well.
Yes, but Hiram can't accept that.
Hiram would never accept it, and that's why the relationship doesn't work. But if they could accept it, I think they would actually have a very, like, one of the most healthy parental relationships in all of Riverdale. Like, couple-wise. True. Not true, necessarily because the relationship with Veronica, but
now, shockingly, there's some of the parents that get along best.
No, they do.
Even though
all of the main characters have, they're like the only parents. I'm trying to think of anyone.
Well, can I just say it's hilarious that like Molly Ringwald just isn't around, because like if she just stayed in Riverdale, it would be her and Fred, because they always get along. But she's just never there, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, exactly. So they have like probably the healthiest relationship of any set of parents, which is really a sad testament to the adult relationships of Riverdale.
It's crazy. Okay. Thank you all for listening. TYLXOX.
You can reach out to us. Let us know what your thoughts are on the episode. We'd love to hear from you. Hear what your favorite iconic fits of the episode or your favorite quotes of the episode are. You can reach out to us at cherylsbwords@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at cherylsbitches, or find us on Instagram at cherylsbitches and TikTok at cherylsbitches as well. So that is cherylsbwords@gmail.com if you want to send us an email, and cherylsbitches on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Check us out, please.